This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
She's already been dubbed the Doomsday Mom, convicted in Idaho for the horrific murders of her children. But Lori Vallow Daybell isn't done with the courtroom spotlight just yet. Now she's heading to a brand new murder conspiracy trial in Arizona for the death of her fourth husband, Charles Vallow. And in a move that feels more like an episode of Law & Order Narcissism Unit, she's decided to represent herself. Seriously. Today we're breaking down what this trial might look like, and what prosecutors are bringing to the table, and how Lori's decision to go full DIY defense could either be a train wreck or a twisted masterstroke. Joining us is former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis. Eric, when you have a defendant facing first-degree murder charges, choosing to represent themselves, is this ever a smart legal move, or is it just courtroom cosplay kind of going a little bit too far?
Yeah, Tony, in my experience, it is wholly perilous for an individual to go and represent themselves, especially for the most serious crime there is. It's the highest stakes there are. It's an extremely serious matter, extremely complicated case to handle and defend. And I was rather shocked when I learned that she was, in fact, going to go forward and represent herself. But here we are.
Why did she choose to represent herself? I mean, we know, like, the Sarah Boone case, the suitcase murderer, she chose because, well, it was really hard to find anybody to represent her until she finally kind of did get somebody. But with this case, why? I mean, she could have had a public defender. It's hard to understand Lori's reasoning, but why?
Yeah, as far as I can tell, she's not really a creature of reason, and so I'm not sure what her thought process was. Sometimes when folks choose to represent themselves, it is because they want control, that they want to be at the helm, they want to be making decisions, and when you have an attorney who's saying, hey, no, you shouldn't do that, mm-hmm. and a really headstrong client who wants to do it anyway, the solution in the client's mind is sometimes being their own lawyer.
Wow. Have you ever seen a case where this works out well, where the defendant decides to do this? Maybe someone of a little bit sounder mind than Lori, that just, you know, they got it down. Maybe they have a little legal experience. Maybe they watched a lot of Judge Judy and they thought they could handle it. I mean, what have you ever seen it happen?
There was one case that I covered for Court TV. The gentleman's name escapes me. There was like a drug issue involved and someone got killed. But this guy was really on top of things. He had a reasonably good grasp of the evidence. He was able to respond to objections. He was coherent and cogent. And those are just not characteristics I've really seen Lori Vallow Daybell exhibit yet.
From what we've seen in the pretrial hearings and motions and all that, this already certainly looks to be a train wreck. I guess how, why? I mean, is this going to work? Is this trial going to get to a completion? Because the way she talks right now, and I'm not going to play a gazillion clips because we've already done it, it's word salad. I mean, she doesn't seem to even understand what she's talking about at all. It's just randomness. It's words that don't make sense in context. It's a lot of just generalities that have nothing to do with anything. And that judge, my God, he has patience. But are we going to see this come to completion, or at some point are they just going to have to say something like, look, this isn't working. I don't know. Can they at some point say, look, this is not going to work?
Cases involving pro se defendants have a higher likelihood, in my opinion, of resulting in a mistrial, mm-hmm. because the defendant doesn't know the rules, doesn't know what they can and can't talk about, doesn't know courtroom decorum and how to observe all of the strictures that are associated with a high-profile murder trial. And so, you know, could Lori Vallow Daybell kind of step in it and do something eccentric and bizarre and totally out of line with typical courtroom conduct that results in things being so patently unfair that they have to require a mistrial? That's at least a possibility here. You know, she was found, or there were some questions as to her competency before, mm-hmm. but I guess the judge is satisfied that she's got enough up there to go forward right now.
If you could predict, like, what, you know, in terms of decorum, in terms of courtroom procedure, obviously she has no clue what she's doing. I think she'd have difficulty ordering something at Starbucks, more or less representing herself in court. What are the top three ways you could see her destroying this, where the jury ends up hearing something and they have to declare a mistrial? What are the three most likely ways that could occur in this case?
You know, I've seen it before, at least come close to a mistrial with like interruptions and outbursts and just speaking out of turn, talking about things that have zero relevance to the case. So the jury is only supposed to hear information and evidence that pertains to the charges alleged. But if Lori starts talking about, you know, being some deity and otherworldly dimensions and what have you, could that be... make things go so far afield, so far off track that the judge says, hey, this is no longer resembling a reasonable trial and we have to order a mistrial. It could happen.
If they order a mistrial, what do we do? I mean, obviously there would be another trial, I would think. You can't require someone, I guess, to have an attorney. I mean, could this be a really weird loophole where this indefinitely goes on until she's dead, basically, where it's like, no, I'm going to keep representing myself every time. And every time I do it, it ends up being a mistrial because she gets so out of control. I mean, at some point, do they just say she's not competent because she keeps destroying every trial that they put together for her? I mean, this is a costly thing to do over and over and over with a crazy person.
Exactly right. And, you know, the judge has a duty to, even though the defendant has been found competent before, if there is overwhelming evidence of a lack of legal competency in the trial, the judge would probably have a duty to step in and say, hey, wait a sec. I just don't feel like she can adequately represent herself in this. We got to order a mistrial. And so we go back to the drawing board and it becomes this perpetual cycle. Now, at that point, the judge could try to put in place additional protective measures like advisory counsel or multiple advisory counsel attorneys who would try and steer this thing, at least to some viable conclusion.
What do we expect the prosecution to bring to the table in this? And how easy of a task is that going to be? I mean, is this the definition? And there's truly never a definition, but if there ever was a definition of a slam dunk case, is this that? And what do you expect them to bring against Lori? Is it going to be a long, ongoing, here's a ton of evidence against Lori? Or is it just like, here's a couple facts, jurors, have a good day?
You know, I think the prosecution would be wise to kind of streamline things because they've got to be mindful of the jury's time and attention. And I'm telling you, this thing is going to get bogged down multiple times due to Lori Vallaudeville representing herself. And so the prosecution doesn't want to drag this out, put on unnecessary evidence. I think that they should identify their most cogent and compelling witnesses and items of evidence and really hang their hat on those and try to avoid any sort of eccentricities and bizarre behavior that could possibly shut down this trial midway through.
What kind of risks are being taken here when Lori tries to cross-examine witnesses? I mean, we're talking people that will be on the stand talking directly to the woman who has allegedly killed their loved ones. I mean, we're talking, you know, Kay Woodcock, Charles' sister, many other people who, you know, were involved in this at a very intimate level that normally, you know, you'd be crossed by their attorney, but it's her herself. Does that, I mean, hopefully everyone can kind of keep their wits about them, but when you have Lori crossing you and saying utterly ridiculous things, that could be a little bit triggering, I would think, to some of those witnesses. And I wonder what kind of issues that could bring to this case.
Yes, certainly. So, you know, even seasoned defense counsel has to approach cross-examination of victims' families and victims' friends extremely delicately because you do not want to create a bad impression with the jury that you're, you know, going after the victim's family or trying to make them look bad or trying to upset them, that kind of thing. And those are all risks that, that Lori runs with just kind of how she has presented so far and how she might handle those cross-examinations. And so she could really shoot herself in the foot in making errors and missteps when dealing with these extremely sensitive and delicate matters concerning victims, families, and friends.
Is there any chance, I have not seen the witness list, and I think it would probably be news if he was on there, but is there any chance that we could see an appearance by Chad Daybell in this case at all? I mean, I know they're spouses and there's rules for that, but again, we have one convicted of another crime that does somewhat relate to this. Is there any way that that would happen or any way that anyone would want that to happen, either from the defense or the prosecution?
You know, Tony, Chad does have some ancillary involvement in this case regarding the killing of prior husband Charles Bellew, because there's an allegation that Lori was cheating on Charles with Chad. So he's involved, and folks who are involved are subject to being called as witnesses. Now, I think that could turn things into such a circus that the prosecution might be weary of doing that. They might say, hey, look, I have enough evidence. I'm not going to play into any sort of bizarre antics, and I'm not going to call Chad. But on the other hand, they could, because Chad has engaged in criminality with Lori. They are sort of in league together, and it's a possibility, and certainly one that has some fireworks to it.
It does, and it makes you wonder, like, is it worth playing that hand? It's like you already have, like, a royal flush. It's like, do we bring Chad in just for the show? I mean, obviously, that's not a legal tactic. Nobody's going to want to do things just for the show. You want to win. Yeah, I mean, does it create more potential issues than it would anything positive or trying to meet the goal of convicting her on this if you're the prosecution?
The prosecution has to be careful about admitting what are called extrinsic acts. So information and evidence that, although it might have some relationship to the case, it wasn't, you know, Chad, there's no allegation that Chad killed Charles, for example. Mm-hmm. And so if you start getting too far afield and the witnesses have too attenuated a connection to the trial, and on top of that, it's very inflammatory, Chad's involvement in his conviction for killing he and Lori's children. Then you start to risk, hey, does this turn into such a show and such a debacle that an appellate court would say, hey, that was too prejudicial to call him. You didn't need to do it. You took that risk and we're going to reverse the conviction. That's always a possibility on appeal.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless, unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapist provides specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.